wonderful nation. You are a great New Zealander. And this is the Punishing Matt and Jenny Show on the best radio station in the world, Radio Hauraki.
Good morning and welcome back to the Matt and Jerry Show. It's Thursday the 8th of February 2018. I'm Jeremy Wells. This is Matt Heath.
You know, X-Space. Do you know about X-Space,
Jerry? Yes, I do know about X-Space.
X-Space.
X-Space sent that Tesla into space.
SpaceX.
Yeah, they sent the Tesla up yesterday.
Yeah, they sent the car into space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How weird is the shot of the car?
Yeah. I remember reading a National Enquirer, and they said they found a London bus in space orbiting the Earth. They had the shot of it. Of course, it wasn't true. But they had the shot of it, and they were trying to convince people that a London route master was just floating around. But now they've got a car in space. This is what it sounded like.
10, 9, 8.
Side boost ignition.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Is that a live studio audience?
Yeah, that's really hyped up, isn't it?
This rocket launch was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah. And look, compare that to the New Zealand space launch the other day.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Ignition. Oh, he's gone early. Ignition. I mean, you get to one,
yeah.
Then you go ignition, then you go blast off after that, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. But you see, Rocket Lab's more Kiwi, isn't it? It's more down to earth. It's more sort of number 8 fencing wire can do. They're not firing flashy things like Teslas into space. They're firing flashy things like mirror balls into space.
And sheep.
Everyone's just firing everything into space now,
isn't
it?
Everyone seems to be firing things into space. At some stage, they're going to have to legislate against that.
Well, what can we should try and fire something into space.
Who owns space?
Well, there's a lot of it.
We're kind of obsessed with, humans are really obsessed with ownership of things. Who owns the moon?
Well, yeah, no one owns the moon, but the Americans went up and put a flag on there, which is a good start to owning it. The thing is that space is, there's a lot of it, it's location, location, location when it comes to space property because, if you're close to Earth in orbit, then there's some use to it. But if you're 25 light years away, that property's not worth much.
Well, it's like the batch. That's too far away. You can never drive to it.
Yeah, you never go.
Yeah.
You just end up going up there to mow the lawns.
Yeah, exactly.
It becomes a chore because it's too far away.
Yeah, and put down some poison for mice. That's right.
Yeah.
So if you're buying a property on Mars, think twice.
Yeah.
You're better probably to go Jupiter in this current climate.
The wonderful world of
China.
Jerry loves Chinese stories and he loves to share them with you. 0800 Hauraki, 0800 428 75. What do you think of his Chinese stories?
China.
It was 1997 when Muhammad Iwan, 41, saw some children playing with a newborn estuarine crocodile that fishermen had recently caught in Panggang Duran Beach in West Java.
Couple of things before we go on. Muhammad?
Yes.
Panggang Duran Beach in West Java.
Yeah.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't West Java in Java? Not in China.
Indonesia.
China.
It's pretty much the same thing. He bought the reptile for his 25,000 Indonesian rupiah. That's $1.80. Named it Kojek and welcomed it into his family home in Sempur sub-district in West Java as a pet. Fast forward 2 decades, that tiny crocodile has grown into a massive 200-kilogram gentle giant that Muhammad claims would never hurt him and his family. His diet initially consisted of carp, but as he grew, so did his dietary demands, and now Muhammad spends roughly 50,000 Indonesian rupiah, that's $3.70, a week feeding Kojak between 1.5 kgs and 5 kgs of goldfish daily.
The rupiah is not a good currency.
The rupiah is struggling a little bit.
The rupiah. See, this is what everyone thinks when they get one of these big creatures. They go, he will never harm my family. But you don't know if you go inside that crocodile's mind, it's going, shall I eat him now? Nah. Shall I eat him now? Look at Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 35 years doing that until finally one of their tigers, I think it was Tobias, went, actually, I'm just going to eat Roy today.
But didn't Tobias try and save Roy?
Yeah, something weird happened. He got confused and thought the lion, because it was the tiger that got him, he thought that the lion was doing something weird because the lion was looking at a woman with a beehive in the front of the seat, in the front seats at the Mirage in Las Vegas.
Beehive haircut.
Yeah, beehive haircut, which was wobbling around. It had some weird stuff in it. And so the lion was looking at that.
And bees coming out of it.
And then a bunch of people came in to deal with that. And then Tobias, I think that's the name of the tiger, went, I've got to save Roy from this. This is weird. So he grabbed Roy around the neck and dragged him off like you might drag off a tiger cub.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, humans don't have that flap of skin. So instead, he just bit into Roy's neck. The great lion and tiger tamer dragged him off and paralyzed him.
And then killed him.
No, he's still alive.
Oh, he's still alive.
Both are. The tiger's still alive and Roy's still alive. And when Roy came around in the hospital, the first thing he said, the great lion tamer, tiger tamer, said, don't kill him. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. Don't. And that's all he cared about when he woke up. Don't put the cat down.
What did Tobias say?
Tobias said, he was forgotten about it.
There's Joe from Glenbrook. Oh, no, it's not. It's Cohen Skin. Good morning, Cohen. How are you this morning?
Yeah, not too bad.
What's happening in Tiddo?
Oh, not a lot. Just pesting around the corrugated iron sheep.
You're always just pesting around that sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to...
A few dags out the back here.
They're going to have to put up some CCTV cameras to stop you doing that.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it.
You're allowed to pest around a corrugated iron sheep, aren't you? It's legal.
Mm, what about the dog?
You're allowed to pest around the corrugated iron dog.
The question, Cohen Skin, is Jerry allowed to pest around West Java in a segment entitled The Wonderful World of China?
China?
Well, I'm confused because you promote this as a Chinese segment.
Mm.
China. And Jerry's talking about Indonesia. Mm. And then Matt's got some punishing tiger admin. And it's just...
Yeah, we moved around a bit there, didn't we, to be fair?
We were spending too much time in Las Vegas.
We've gone off piste and we're skiing between the trees.
Yeah, just shut it down.
Okay.
Shut it down. It's the second shut it down of the morning.
China.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells. The Hodaki Breakfast.
Just a quick update on Elon Musk's Tesla Roadster, which was launched on top of SpaceX's Falcon Heavy earlier today. So it's on top of a SpaceX spaceship. And it was supposed to blast off around the sun and then head off into sort of around Mars. But... the rocket carrying the car seems to have overshot the trajectory and has put the Tesla, the Roadster, the car, in an orbit that extends out into the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. They've overshot the mark with the Roadster.
So has the Tesla been tested, in terms of crash tests with asteroids in the past?
No.
I mean, have they ever done crash tests with asteroids? So what happens when a Tesla hits an asteroid going about 45,000 k's an hour?
I guess the in your face.
Does the airbags
just inflate right in your face? It'd be really interesting. So you've got this Tesla out in space, and obviously it's got this model of an astronaut in the car. You know, if aliens ever come across that, they'll see it, and they'll go, oh my God, that's a being. And then they'll come up, and they'll go, that's not a being. Seems like a ground transport vehicle that's floating out in space with a model of a being. Is this some kind of practical joke? They'll be like, is this some kind of practical joke? And then they'll feel humiliated that they've had a practical joke played on them by the people of Earth. And then they'll launch their fleets against us and they'll destroy our planet.
Yeah, now if that does happen, that would be an absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
And people will look back and they'll say, you know what, that whole launching the Tesla, that's classic to man's hubris. That is absolute hubris. That you've got going on right there.
Absolutely. But tell you what, how good is a Tesla Roadster?
Oh, my God, the Tesla's great. I'm just actually having a look on Trade Me because I'm just thinking, how much is a Tesla? What does a second-hand Tesla go for? Because I know the brand-new ones are very expensive. There's one Tesla for sale on Trade Me.
Yeah.
One Tesla.
How much?
It's done 58,000 Ks, which is quite a few. It's a 2015, so reasonably old technology now. You're looking at $109,000 for that.
Right, see, because $109,000, because you get the feeling like these cars are going to get better and better and better and better. So, you know, you're not going to be driving a 10-year-old electric vehicle, are you?
No.
Because the advancements are happening so fast. And interestingly enough, we're looking at an era when the combustion engine is starting to look, for the first time, pretty old-fashioned.
It is. This is
inefficient.
This is the P85 2015 Model S. Quite a nice one, actually. It's got four doors. It's got one cc.
Should we, Nick, ACC head and Hodaki head G-Lane's work credit card out of his desk drawer and just buy that Tesla for the station vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking. That's a good idea. Although, remember what happened last time when we signed up something to Hodaki? We paid for that for about 3 months.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Yesterday we were talking about the big game, NZME versus MediaWorks at Eden Park number 2.
Yeah, the Hodaki versus The Rock out on the actual Eden Park grounds with grounds people looking after it and rolling it in the innings breaks. Pretty special day, wasn't it?
It was.
And game one. NZME Hodaki won decisively.
Yeah, comprehensive victory. The Rock team got 128 or something like that.
Yep.
And then Dylan Cleaver, beautiful innings, despite the fact that he did a terrible groin injury.
Yeah.
But batted on for a heroic 30, and then in the end, NZME comprehensively winning that game. And then the second game, Matt, because we played two games.
Yeah, so The Rock batted first again and got almost the same score again. They got 125. Despite some heroics from ACC head and Hodaki head G Lane, who was smashing it around again with a groin injury, very similar to Dylan Cleaver. So we were riddled with groin injuries.
What's the problem with NZME that all these groin injuries seem to be emerging?
Well, I said that needs to be taken upstairs to the exec panel. Like, what are we doing about the groins of our colleagues? Because they're just blowing.
Is there something in the water at NZME, or is it maybe the toilet facilities are not right?
I don't know, but ACC head and Hodaki head G Lane posted a picture on Instagram last night of himself just with a bag of peas on his groin, just trying to deal with the situation.
Okay.
I don't know if that was related, actually.
I think that's totally unrelated.
It's an unrelated incident.
It's just something that he wanted to do. So then he came out in the super over.
Yeah, we'll see. So then there was a super over to decide, and the Rock team did very well, got 16. So we needed 17 to win. And ACC head and Hodaki head, G Lane's groin was so badly injured that he didn't go out. He wasn't one of the two batsmen. He was the first drop, super over. And he was like, in classic G Lane style, he was like, if it. I'm only putting one pad on. And that's what he said. He said that about five times quite loudly. And then he did only put one pad on, but he didn't actually have to face up because it came down to the last ball.
Well, he probably couldn't put on another pad because of his groin.
Yeah, his groin was really
flaring.
Couldn't
get down on one knee to put the pad on.
I don't know why he took his pads off. But anyway, came down to the last ball of the game. Hodaki needed 4 to win the whole competition the whole day. Young Sam stepped up and just clipped it down fine leg for 4 and we won.
There we go.
And we won the celebration. I threw my beer. I was so excited I threw my beer right up in the air and it landed all over everyone and kind of ruined the celebrations.
Okay, good.
But, boy, it was good. What a day.
Yeah, 2-0. So that's the inaugural NZME MediaWorks Cricket Day at Eden Park. Hopefully there's more and more of those because it was a great day. Fortunately, I couldn't play in the second game and batted terribly in the first game. But geez, it was good to be batting out there in the middle.
God, yeah.
It felt amazing.
Yeah.
Sight screens, a proper grass pitch.
Great victory for Radio Hodaki.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Do you remember that guy, Harley Neville?
Yes, I do.
He was featured on the Ellen Show in America, Kiwi guy who shaved half his body.
Mm-hmm.
Very hairy guy, very hairy back, very hairy chest.
Hirsute is the word to use, Matt. Well, hirsute.
Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's just back in the studio.
Yeah,
right there.
Of course I remember him. Firstly, of course I remember him. Secondly, he's sitting there.
Yeah.
Thirdly, we were just chatting before.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm on Trade Me right now, and you can buy him or part of him. You can't. Is that how it works, Haley?
Last time it was Harvey. This time it's Haley.
Haley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, guys. Yeah. So basically, last time after our wee chat, I mentioned the idea of doing a charity auction to auction off ad space on my chest.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was just kind of a joke, really.
Yeah.
But then it occurred to me, you only get about 15 seconds of fame, and I'm probably at about 14 seconds with this hairy thing by now, you know, and it was sort of like, do it or don't, now or never. And I thought, let's do it. And so I partnered with the Orangutan Project because I figured I needed a slightly bigger reason to do it other than it's funny.
The who?
the Orangutan Project. So that's a charity from, they're based in Australia, and they help protect the orangutans by protecting the rainforests that they live in. And I figured, you know,
I'm a hairy primate.
They're hairy primates.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I'm going to sacrifice some of my foliage to help save the real rainforest, you know.
You pick your bum, they pick their bum.
Exactly. I do that.
Yeah, we all do, don't we?
Yeah. And so, yeah, on Trade Me, it's got, you know, the feature on Trade Me where you have the magnetizing square?
Yeah, magnifying, yeah.
Magnifying, so you can see the product.
Yeah, and you can really get a good look at the canvas on there,
can't
you?
You can really
get in there around the nipples.
Around the nips, yeah.
Have you had a bit of work done to your face? I'm just getting right in around the eyes there. It looks like, have you been to the Casey Clinic or something? There's no fine lines around the eyes. Jeez, your skin's looking good, isn't it?
Oh, thanks, mate. That's great to hear coming from you because you've got some of the best skin in the business.
Oh, look, I don't know about that. I mean, look, I'm getting right in close with that magnifying glass.
I'm getting right into your belly. Belly button there.
Yeah, actually, cool. So am I. Oh, that's an interesting spot. And the groin's looking good too, actually.
Is there any fluff in there?
There's a lot of fluff in there.
And actually, the best bit is if you run the magnifying glass around the shoulder and against the... Your photo's been taken in a tennis court.
Yeah.
And some green foliage in the background and your hair really stands out. Really stands proud and high across the green background there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of a halo of hair above my shoulders there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to book the space on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I see. So can you explain how this works?
Yes.
You've got free shipping here.
Yes.
It's the Orangutan Project and people are bidding. What are they bidding for?
Okay. So people out there right now can bid to get their logo shaved into my chest here. Now, it doesn't have to be a logo. It can be your girlfriend's initials for Valentine's Day coming up. It can be a love heart and will you marry me? Maybe you'd like a hairy man to show up halfway through your dinner date with a love heart shaved on his chest, you know?
Yep.
So it can be anything you want, really. It's called Your Logo here. And the idea is you bid, I'll shave whatever you want into there. I'll provide high quality photos and probably a vlog as well at the same time.
Yeah.
And half the money will go to charity, half the money will go to the guy who's going to end up with the Brazzers logo on his chest.
Yeah, well, I'm looking here, Harley, and it says, are you also selling ad space on the back?
Yeah, well, that's an option.
There's some interesting questions that have been asked. I can't believe you're still single. Man, you're hot. And then you're like, I know, right? I'm as shocked as you are. There's plenty of gay men would love you, mate, me included. As you said last time you're on the show,
you're huge in the beer community.
Yeah.
In the beer community.
It's that ironic thing where, you know, 10,000 large hairy gay men.
And all you want is a spoon?
And all you want is a petite Latina.
Yeah, that's right.
That's quite tricky.
Or rain on your wedding day.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
If I bid and win, can I trade this for a date?
But again, they're all coming from the wrong corner. And I'm flattered and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But it's just not very much help to me as a single man, you know. I have updated my Tinder profile picture, though. I am still painfully single. And I've updated my Tinder profile picture to the original half hairy photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea being, you know, well, normally I sort of hid the hairiness from women. But I've sort of, this Ellen thing has made me kind of come out of the hairy closet.
Yeah.
And the hairy closet sounds good. And I thought what I'll do is, I'll just put up a flag and hope somebody sees it. And so that's my current profile picture on Tinder.
Well, seeing as you're so popular with sort of the gay community, especially the fans of the beers.
Yeah.
Have you thought about getting hypnotized and flipping sides?
I didn't actually know that was an option.
Businesses where you make it, you know, like you've got to go where the
wild things are.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go where the wild things are.
Obviously, this is an auction, but have you got a buy now price?
I very optimistically put it at $10,000.
Okay.
Now, I should have used a more international platform to sell on than Trade Me, because it turns out Trade Me is only Australia and New Zealand, and that might have been an issue because, you know, it's just, you know, you want that international, the big gay international money maybe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pink dollar, international pink dollar.
If you want to bid or you just want to look right close into...
It's at an embarrassingly low $150 at the moment. That's very affordable.
If you want to just look into Harley's belly button,
or no.
Then look up your logo here on Trade Me. Is that best way to
search? It's under Cool Auctions on the front page as well. But yeah, if you looked up your logo here, and here is obviously spelled H-A-I-R.
I saw that.
Punny. Jump on Trade Me and have a look for that. Otherwise, just Google Harley Neville and I'm sure you'll find it.
Yeah, well, look, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. Keep us updated with how it goes.
Thank you.
Skin's looking great too, by the way. I mean, look at, and it, actually, I'm just down in on your teeth. Oh, it's a good set of Nashes you've got going there.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Well, I wonder if Brad from The Rock will be executing any of his team following the dramatic scenes yesterday at Eden Park number 2. Welcome to the show, Brad from The Rock. You're the boss of The Rock, Brad. Also, we've got Matt Headland, Chief Commercial Officer of NZME. And commiserations, Brad. A great day, though, at Eden Park number 2 yesterday.
Welcome, Matt and Jerry. It was a fantastic day. And hello, Matt. The winning captain, shit. But outstanding day yesterday. Two games of cricket. A little bit jaded today. The body's falling to pieces. And I would love to say the Rock / Media Weeks team beat the Hodaki / NZME team. But unfortunately, we didn't. Lost in the final ball of the Super Over. Hard way to lose the game. Hard way to lose.
Yeah, what a fantastic Super Over it was, though. Matt Headland, I just want to talk to you a little bit about strategy, because in the first game, NZME Hodaki won. Do you think it was a wise move to celebrate so heavily between games? A lot of trays of beer came out, and I feel like the focus was lost a little bit in the second game.
Well, the strategy going into the both games was bat like McCullum and drink like Booney. So we did fill up. We filled up the bank with beer.
Well, I feel really like got you, into it. I feel like you bat. We didn't sort of bat like McCullum, but we drank like Booney and McCullum combined. Because of course, Brendan McCullum knows how to drink a red wine as well, doesn't he?
He does, absolutely.
Now, Brad King from The Rock, talk us through how you bowled Jeremy Wells.
Well, I think Jeremy, it's probably easy, Jeremy, if you explain how I bowled you.
Well, this is what I saw, Brad, from my end. A delivery which was, looks a good delivery, short of a length, just pitched slightly outside off stump and then just nipped back a fraction, actually, and I was sort of all at sea, defending, half attacking, and it sort of slipped back through the gate and took the top of off stump. Is that what happened?
I think it was very much like that. The first two balls, though, Jeremy, just niggly line and length, just outside off stump. You played and missed two times in a row.
Yeah, it was the two balls beforehand. That was what got me.
I know. You were all at sea. The first ball, I believe, was a full toss right at your scone, which I think just rattled you a little bit. The second two balls, just outside off stump. And fourth ball, we didn't know what was going on.
No, well, it was the pressure that you built with those deliveries before, and I thought, well, I've got to do something with this one, otherwise people are going to think, what the hell is this guy doing?
So that was my only saving grace of the entire day, was managing to bowl out Jeremy Wells. And probably the ball of the entire match, I would say, too. Being too confident.
I'd just like to bring the captain of the NZME Hodaki team and talk us through that final Super Over.
The final Super Over, two of the Rock's average batsmen were in. We were bowling six of our best bowlers. Bowled very well, I have to say. Then we sent in our two just supreme batsmen, Sam Abraham, who has actually played for the Rock historically and has now moved over to NZME.
That's the part that's created the shit out of me. That Sammy used to play for the Rock team. Yeah. Now he's defected to the NZ team, NZME team, and.
But he was given the message, Brad, just to hold off to the last two balls, and then he just carted your team straight over the boundary for six on the second to last ball, and just smoked a four on the last. And I've never seen as many man hugs. The last time I've seen as many man hugs was the Black Caps winning the semi final at the World Cup. And
he didn't actually
that
strike
was Eden Park.
Matty, I'll stop you there. He didn't actually strike the ball, the final ball, before. It was the most streakiest edge known to mankind. Just between keeper and slip, I was bowling, and it was a streaky one.
It was, yeah. And I think the classic sledging moment was I was out batting and Di Henwood said, fill up the Pinot Gris, light the fire, and let's get into this.
And it was Di Henwood's birthday too. We couldn't send him off with a happy ending.
Oh, well, it was a great day at Eden Park number 2. And look, thanks for your time, Brad. Commiserations to the Media Works Rock team. But of course, it's got to be an event that's got to be held every year now, surely.
It is. Eden Park was so impressed with our form, particularly NZME's form, that they've invited us back.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Look, thanks for your time, Brad, and thanks for your time, Matt.
It's Matt and Jimmy's Penis or Genius.
In light of the boss of Doritos revealing that they are creating gender-specific snacks because women don't like to crunch too loudly in public, this morning we'll be arguing whether masticating noisily is penis or genius.
I'll be arguing that masticating noisily is genius, and Jerry will argue that it's penis. You can vote on 0800 Hodaki or text P or G and a comment to 3483, or by clicking on our story at Matt and Jerry Show on Instagram. Jerry, you have 1 minute to argue that masticating noisily is penis, and your time starts now.
God, I hate noisy mastication.
Penis.
Let me be honest. I love masturbation, have loved it for 25 years, and I'm partial to some noisy masturbation at times, particularly when I find myself solo on a farmstead with fibre.
Genius.
But I hate noisy mastication.
Penis.
What's the first individual table manner you teach your kids? Yes, before they learn to use a fork, before they learn to keep their elbows off the table, before they learn to scoop their soup backwards to the back of the soup bowl, it's masticating with your mouth shut. Nobody wants to see your food and your mouth getting graunched up by your teeth, and more importantly, no one wants to hear it mixing with saliva.
Penis.
If my kids masticate noisily, I march them down to the basement with my hand on their ear, chuck them in with their food, and lock the door for 20 minutes. That way I don't have to listen to them, and it teaches them to fear closed spaces and the dark also. So, when you vote penis or genius this morning, remember this simple little ditty. Noisy masturbation.
Genius.
Noisy mastication.
Penis.
Thank you. Now, Matt,
yes.
Your minute to argue that masticating noisily is genius starts now.
That Doritos boss has got this so, so wrong. Hashtag diddle. Noisy mastication is a winner. I particularly like noisy female mastication.
Genius.
Why should anyone eat quietly? Eat how you want. Do you think our hunter-gatherer ancestors ate quietly? Hell no. They went at their saber-toothed mammoths, hammer and tongs.
Genius.
Do you think Jesus masticated quietly? Hell no. Christ was a very noisy masticator. The Last Supper consisted of bean stew, lamb shanks, olives, unleavened bread, Doritos, and a shitload of wine. Apparently, Jesus shoved it all in his divine gob and munched away. Apparently, it was loud as hell.
Genius.
All the best kings ate loudly, meat off the bone in one hand, massive goblet of wine in the other, then hoof it over your shoulder onto the floor when you're done. So ask yourself, do you want to eat like the great kings, Jesus and our ancestors, or like Carlton from The Fresh Prince?
Genius.
In conclusion, people who eat quietly include David Bain, Hans Gruber, and Simon Gruber, his brother. People who masticate loudly include Lisa Ann, Robin Bain, and Katniss Evergreen. As Hannibal Lecter once said,
a census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Noisy mastication.
Genius.
It's Matt and Jerry's Penis or Genius.
The line of the boss of Doritos revealing that they're creating gender-specific snacks because women don't like to crunch too loudly in public this morning. We've been arguing whether masticating noisily is penis or genius. Matt argued that it's genius. I argued that it's penis. But what do the people think, Matt? What have the texts been saying?
Well, not much, actually. I think this is the least engaged sort of penis or genius we've ever had. No one seems to really care that hotly about masticating. You know, maybe if it had been more focused on masturbating, people would have cared more.
Excuse me.
Genius, nothing better than feeding a hungry horse. Noisy mastication also good. You see, you know what feeding a hungry horse means.
See, I love you, Matt, but I'm with Jerry on this. Noisy masturbating genius, noisy masticating penis. People love a noisy masturbation.
If I ever murder someone, it will be because of noisy mastication. Okay, the Instagram poll at Matt and Jerry Show is running 67% P and 33% G.
Here's Rob from Waiuku. Morning, Rob. Welcome to the Matt and Jerry Show.
G'day, lads.
Hey, thoughts?
Noisy eaters, I got to walk away. They're horrible.
Oh, I struggle with it, Rob. It's something that I really struggle with. And I used to work with someone who was a shocking noisy masticator.
Yeah,
shocking.
My best mate, Sam Walter. Don't mean to name names, but...
Do you know his middle name?
Lewis.
Sam Lewis.
Walter, what date was he born?
7th of September, maybe.
Where was he born?
He's in Waiuku.
Waiuku, and what does he do?
He's an architect.
And he's a noisy masticator.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. He's home, I gotta walk away.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what on what kind of food? Like, all food?
Yeah, all food. Dry biscuits, somehow he'll make them sloppy, you know? I don't know how he does it.
Really. This person that I used to work with, I thought at first when I first ate with him or her, I thought that he or she was joking. Right. I was like, oh, is that a joke? And I thought, that's a weird joke because it's quite gross. and then the second time around, I was like, no, that's not a joke. Wow, it was really noisy, like overtly noisy.
It's fine, man.
That's horrible, boys. Get rid of them all. Get rid of them.
Okay, thanks, Rob. You know, it's all right with an apple, right? When you bite into an apple.
Oh, it's the bite's okay. It's the chewing. You can't do much about a bite because that's just the crispiness of it.
Yeah.
It's the open mouth mastication that's the problem.
Open mouth mastication. I love it.
John from Gore, your thoughts?
Oh, great song by The Cure, by the way.
Thanks, John. You like that song, do you, John?
Yeah, I like that song. Okay. I'll go along with Matt. This whole show masticates quite well and it's going down well.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Don't you dare masticate our show noisily, John from Gore. That's disgusting.
Mm.
Let's go to Gary, who's a known jizzo. Morning, Gary.
Oh, good morning, lad.
Long time no hear, Gary. Nice to hear from you.
I know, it's been a while. Good things take time.
Yeah, they do. Gary, your thoughts on noisy mastication?
Oh, I make the cheese.
I used to work with a woman who was a very, very noisy masticator. And, in fact, we used to go and have lunch with her just for the freak show element. It was most hilarious. Absolutely penis.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay, there you go. The votes have been counted. The people of Hauraki have spoken. And masticating noisily will join. Robots, billionaires, trim milk, landlines, New Zealand native fauna, the moon, the sun, and apologies on the
penis
side of the Hauraki breakfast, P or G, Cody Clark. Masticating noisily, you have been voted penis. May you die alone in shame and infamy before burning in hell for all eternity at the hands of the devil himself.
The Agenda.
Now, it was one kiss between US football quarterback Tom Brady and his son, but it made headlines around the world. The viral video, which was filmed as part of Brady's online series Tom v. Time, came under heavy criticism by some viewers just days before his Super Bowl game. In the clip, Brady's filmed getting a massage, during which his son kisses him on the mouth. Tweets online range from weird to very disturbing and even absolute psychopath. But parenting commentator Joseph Dreesen says yesterday there was nothing wrong with the kiss except for putting it on the internet.
Yeah, well, so if you've seen the footage, Tom Brady, the Patriots superstar quarterback, he's lying down and then there's just a kiss. His son comes in, kisses him on the lips, and then sort of walks away wiping his lips. So, I mean, it's not really Tom Brady that did it. But also, I mean, do you kiss your kids on the lips, Jerry?
Well, this is an interesting area, Matt, because I have an 8-year-old girl and I have a 5, nearly 6-year-old son.
Yeah.
And I do kiss my daughter on the lips sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I kiss her on the cheek. Sometimes I kiss her on the forehead. I probably kiss her on the forehead and the cheek more than the lips.
Yeah.
Because my family were never really a lip-kissing family. In fact, my family were not even a hugging family. They just didn't touch each other, kept a really, really good distance from each other.
So when you run into your dad, yeah, now, do you come up and grab him around the cheeks and give him a big kiss on the lips?
No, I don't hug him. I don't kiss him. I don't even shake his hand.
Do you say, I love you?
We just say hi. No, you don't say I love you in my family either.
Right, okay.
I know, it's a bit weird.
A cold, stiff, Remy Wearer punishes.
Well, it's not actually. We have a lot of affection for each other, but we just don't do that for some reason.
Well, yeah, I don't kiss my sons on the lips. Maybe on the forehead when they're babies, but now they're getting older. 10 years old and 8 years old. I mean, you know, I just shake their hands. Good night, son.
You know, shake their hands?
Yeah, shake your hand and send you to bed. Good night, son.
And they say, good night, father.
Yeah. No, they say good night. They say good night, sir.
Oh, do they stand?
I'll try harder tomorrow.
It's like the Von Trapp family.
Well, not the Von Trapp family. Adieu to you and you and you. I wouldn't allow my kids to do that. That would be time in the coal shed for that.
Well, it's an interesting area though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more interesting when it comes to girls. You know, like girls that are friends of your friends or your friend. They're not girls that are your girlfriend or your partner, but just girls. And then when they come up, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, so they hug you and then you kind of pretend to kiss them by putting your cheek on theirs and making a kissing noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that weirder than actually kissing them on the lips? Pretending to make a kissing noise? Yeah,
that's
You're right, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and some groups of friends do and some don't.
Yeah.
Like my closest group of friends don't. Like when I run into my female friends, we don't. But like operating in sort of your, like if I run into your friends, your whole circle of friends does that because you're sort of high-fluting Auckland types, you know? Whereas people from the South Island tend to sort of stand back and lean in for a low two-pump handshake.
Yeah, right. 800 Hodaki, 800 428 725. I'd like to hear what our listeners think about this.
About what?
About the kissing your kids on the lips.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just interested. Okay. I'm just interested. I mean, personally, I've got no problem with it. I mean, yeah. If you want to kiss your kids on the lips, good. If you want to give them a... I mean, a pash, I think, is probably going too far.
Tongue, obviously. We're not getting into the tongue. I mean, that's too much, isn't it?
But, you know, going back a generation, probably kissing on the lips was probably a little bit weird. But, yeah. But I mean, maybe the pash is next. Well, I mean, look, if you said 50 or 60 years ago that people would be kissing their kids on the lips, then people would say, don't you, that is disgusting. How dare you? Dare you even say that?
It is not tending towards pashing your
kids.
Well,
I'm just saying, maybe. Where are we going?
Well, I know where you're going if you start pashing your kids. You're going to prison and then hell.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells. The Hodaki Breakfast.
Yeah, because Tom Brady got kissed on the lips while he was having a massage on a video, and it went viral because his son has probably looks like about a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old son had kissed him on the lips. And some people said it weird. We're talking about pashing kids?
We're not talking about... No, we're not. And I got that wrong before. And that was silly. That was naughty. We're talking about whether or not you kiss your kids on the lips.
Yeah.
Lisa, good morning. Welcome to the show. You're from Auckland.
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Do you kiss your kids?
Yes, I do.
On the lips?
Yes, I do.
Is there tongue involved?
There is not tongue. They kiss me.
They kiss you, and they started it, but you allow it to continue.
They did. Although the 9-year-old has started at night time, she'll offer me her cheek to kiss.
Oh, right.
Now, hold on, Lisa, because what you've done is you've just opened another can of worms there. Because I know someone who, when I go to kiss them on the cheek, they present the cheek, and oftentimes you end up kissing an ear. To me, it's like you kiss the side of the mouth cheek, you know what I mean? Like, there's an area that you kiss. You don't actually...
Yeah.
Like, if you go into the side, I don't need the cheek presented to me, thanks very much. I'm not going to hit you straight on the lips. I can move around you and make that noise. But there's nothing worse than someone that goes in and then they give you an ear.
Well, Lisa, let's move it out of the realm of children. And when you meet male and female friends, do you give them a hug and a kiss?
I used to live in the UK for a while where that was very common, and so I would, and give them a hug and kiss them once. But over here, not so much.
It can be a real rigmarole.
If I haven't seen them for ages.
It can be a real rigmarole when someone comes to, like, you're at a restaurant and everyone's around the table, and then a female friend arrives and there's about 7 of you, and then they have to go around the whole table. It takes freaking ages, and it moves you away from your food or your beer, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I've always said that the problem with New Zealand is we don't have our own formal way of greeting people. If only we had a New Zealand formal way of greeting people, it'd make less uncomfortable situations. Here's Billy from Mount Roskill. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Billy, what's your way of greeting your kids or I guess kissing them goodnight, or what do you do?
Oh, sent my 14-year-old daughter off to school this morning and gave her a goodbye hungi.
A hungi?
Oh, see, there we go. So that's the New Zealand way.
Mid-hungi, I put my lips up and sort of surprised her with a kiss on the lips, which was actually quite funny.
You snuck one in there?
Snuck, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So, the hongi presents certain problems because, I know we've talked about this on the show before, when Joseph Drury, the web guy, accidentally hongied Anika Moa. Anika Moa, when she didn't expect it.
That's right.
Because he's from Christchurch.
And she's Māori.
He hadn't seen a Māori person before.
And he thought that's maybe what you did. That was a shocker. That was a cultural incident.
Yeah. Well, the mother of my children's Māori, and she says she can't hongi me because I've got a dangerously pointy and calloused-filled European nose. It's too pointy.
It's a different type of a nose.
Yeah, she says it's unpleasant for people to go near my pointy nose, you know.
Here's Ollie from Pukki. Morning, Ollie. How are you?
Yeah, morning. Hey, I just heard recently talking about Phil and Walter. Someone was talking about a loud accent, and So I've got a little bit of story about the kissing. It's not so much human kissing. He's doing a bit of milking in his spare time on the farm, and he's really affectionate with his calves. Yeah, a lot of kissing.
His calves?
To the calves, yeah, when we're milking. So that was a few years ago. I don't know what he's doing.
Hold on. Does he milk and kiss at the same time with his hands? Is he manually milking and Jesus?
Oh, well, he might. Well, that's the other side of the animal. I don't know if he's kissing that side. But he's kissing the bobby calf. Yeah, he's really affectionate. Yeah.
In his defense, like, cows have beautiful eyes.
Oh, God, don't
start. They are beautiful, sort of feminine.
Don't you?
Like,
sort
of the big eyelashes. And also great tongues.
Don't you?
Huge tongues.
Don't you get going on.
I mean, if you're going to pash anyone, any animal, it might as well be a cow with those beautiful, sexy, sexy big eyes.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Only ACC and Hodaki head G Lane comes steaming into the studio when we've been talking about something. But I've got to say, you came hobbling into the studio this morning.
Yeah, not much of a steam this morning.
No, what's happening there? Have you got some groin issues?
Well, during yesterday's grudge match versus The Rock, may have torn my groin.
Before we go on, can I just say the grudge match against The Rock that Hodaki won?
Yes, we did.
We beat them.
Well, 2-0. There were two games.
God, it was good.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good. Well, it was kind of 1-1 and then, we won a Super Over.
Super Over, yeah. G Lane blew his groin early though, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I blew my groin in the first six overs.
Hold on, 1-1 and then the Super Over.
We played two games.
Yeah.
It was a two-match series.
Yeah.
We won the first one.
Yeah.
They won the second.
Oh.
And then to decide the series, we went to Super Over.
Oh, I didn't
see, because Jerry only played the first one.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I played in the first one.
Yeah, no.
Right, okay.
I was hobbling around, yeah, and there's a massive bruise. I've never seen a bruise on a groin. That when you've strained your groin.
Well, I'd love to see Cleaver's groin.
Dylan Cleaver, New Zealand Herald sports writer. He's
elegant batsman.
Beautiful batsman. Bats like Martin Crowe. And then in the end, hobbled around like Martin Crowe at the end of his career.
He blew his groin as well. Like, the Hodaki team were blowing groins all over the place.
What's wrong with our groins?
Well, we're very downstairs focused. That's what tends to happen.
And like I saw last night, you posted a picture on Instagram of your groin with the peas on it. Are you going to put those peas back into the family food rotation?
I wondered that as well.
The kids won't know.
Well, they've wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, it was wrapped in plastic.
Hey, but we didn't bring you in here to talk about that, ACC head and Hodaki head G Lane. We've been talking about Tom Brady kissing his kids.
Oh, yes.
And yesterday, off air, that you didn't want us to talk about on air, it was an incident where you had an uncle that was always coming in for the pash.
You rest in peace, Uncle Jerry the lip kisser. Uncle Jerry the lip kisser. He was known throughout the family, Uncle Jerry the lip kisser. At Christmas time, you always knew you were going to get it on the lips from Uncle Jerry. But
what, you as well?
Yeah. But you'd fade off though. You'd know to fade off, and he'd get you on the cheek.
Just wait. Let me clarify.
Males and females. But what he'd do is, then if new people would come to Christmas, so like there'd be a new cousin or someone would bring it. It was best when someone from overseas, you know, like, oh, where are you spending Christmas? Come have it with us. And then we'd watch them, and Uncle Jerry could see them from the other side of the room and goes, who we got here? He'd line them up for the kiss, and then they had nowhere to go, and then just go right on the lips. But everyone else would go, ooh,
Uncle Jerry is struck again.
And so, was there anything untoward, #MeToo, about the whole Uncle Jerry situation?
No, I think he was just an affectionate kind of guy. Like, it was pretty harmless. So, if you presented the cheek, if you just faded at the right time,
he was fine with that.
He could live with that.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that earlier though, and there's something about this. There's normally what I tend to do with females is I don't generally go for the lips. You generally go for the side of the mouth,
right,
sort of thing.
Yeah. Give them a bit of sandpaper with your bristles.
You know, just rub it back and forth. Like and you come around the side, but sometimes you get people who then realise you're coming around the side and then they turn their head and present the cheek and you end up in their ear.
That's when you need to stick your tongue in their ear.
Yeah, that's a good actually a good tactic.
That's fine, because that's a weird thing. It's like you're some kind of royalty if you present your cheek.
Well, that's what it feels
so
like.
So you gotta at least wet willy them.
It's like presenting the back presenting the back of your hand.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, here you go.
Here's a tip. If someone presents the back of your hand, you know, when you go to kiss it, you actually kiss your thumb and not their hand. That's what polite people do.
What?
You kiss your own thumb.
Well, who presents a hand nowadays?
No.
I haven't seen someone present a hand for a long time.
My mate Spooge presents a hand.
Okay, how about today? If you meet someone new today, you have to present a hand.
Okay. Right, let's start that.
And you can video, see how we video, go, video that everyone, any meeting you go to.
Hold on. What happens if you never see that person again, though, and then they go and they say, you know what, I met Jerry the other day and he presented a hand. That was very...
They'll be like, you know that Dirk from Seven Sharp, yeah, right. He presented a hand to
really
me when I was just trying to... I was at the forecourt. I was just trying to fill his tank up. He presented the hand.
I'm going to do it.
Better than presenting a cheek.
Anyway, thanks for your insights, ACC Head and Hauraki Head G Lane.
The Hauraki Breakfast with Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells.
And I've been watching some interesting things on Netflix recently.
Yes.
And this, I guess you call it a documentary. It's like a long-form interview show featuring David Letterman. It's called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. Here's a little bit of audio from it.
What was that first day like? You're not president. Your feet hit the floor. I'm not president. What is more damaging to that democracy?
Where's the handbook on that?
It's petty.
Is it six?
Really?
And karate. It's
not as dumb as people think I am.
Are we safe from the same thing repeating itself?
Let's talk about something you and I have in common. Kids. There's a picture of you dancing.
Relief?
Any relief here? Well, right there is a mistake.
Am I supposed? Is now when I'm supposed to respond?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's David Letterman talking to former US President Barack Obama in a long-form interview on a stage in front of a large studio audience.
Yeah.
And Letterman's interesting because he's really let himself go.
Yeah.
He's got a huge old beard. He hasn't shaven since he finished doing the show. There's a lot of people, obviously, he's doing the late show for years and years and years and years, shaving every day.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, now I can finally let myself go.
Yeah, so he did it for decades, and then everyone was like making a lot of money, and then he retired, right? Stephen Colbert does the show now. And everyone thought, what is he going to do next? And what he's done next is just turn up on stage and do these long interviews with people he knows. He loves Obama, doesn't he?
He's a great interviewer, though.
Yeah, and then the next one is George Clooney, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Howard Stern, just these hour-long interviews. It's interesting, isn't it? That's the way things are going now. People thought everyone wanted everything to be really short, and now people are listening to hours of dangerously old man with a beard interviewing an ex-president.
It's interesting what also happens, because for years and years and years doing the Letterman show, which was like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And then the interviews were quite quick.
Yeah.
And also he had a band.
And you always worried he was going to kill himself during the top 10 because he'd done it so many times.
But it was never funny, the top 10.
It's the thing that kept going forever. Like, I've always wondered, was the top 10 originally funny? Like when Letterman first started doing it 25 years ago, the people go, damn, that top 10.
Yeah.
And then every day for 25 years, just trying to fill in this top 10, you know, like, ditch it, mate. Hey, I'll tell you what I've been watching. This came out in September last year, though. I've been watching The Orville.
Oh, yeah. There's a ship available. An exploratory vessel. The USS Orville. And we're offering you command. You're kidding.
You might recognize that voice from The Family Guy. Right?
Good.
Seth MacFarlane is the star of Orville, and it's basically a Star Trek ripoff, right?
Yeah.
Because Seth MacFarlane's a huge fan of sci-fi, right? And he wanted to make a positive sci-fi, like the old sci-fis. Now everything's a dystopian, apocalyptic future where everything's grey and turning to crap. But he liked the ones where everything's positive and they've got a better society. So they just blast around in the ship, the Orville, you know, doing a Star Trek-like adventures and solving mysteries and interesting problems in physics. But it's kind of funny, and it's kind of got the Family Guy jokes in it.
Mm.
But it's not always funny, and it doesn't have to be funny all the time.
No, I quite like that.
So his thing when he was making the show is going to be, I'm not going to be funny all the time. You can't force me to just be joke after joke after joke. Sometimes it's going to be sort of a serious, and it's light, and it is hated by critics. It's got like 19% by critics, but 95% loved by audiences.
Okay.
So people that watch it love it. Critics hate it because it's a Star Trek ripoff and it's got some Family Guy jokes in it. And it's kind of weird that Seth MacFarlane's cast himself in the lead role. And there's problems.
Generally, critics don't like things that they can't put in a box.
Yeah.
So that sounds like you cannot put that show in a box.
Yeah, and so it's been one of the highest rating shows on Fox. So it's just been renewed for another series. And I freaking loved it. Such a weird vibe. It's like Star Trek without being kind of awkwardly nerdy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, should we go to Hayden?
Yeah.
G'day, Hayden. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, lad.
What are you watching, Hayden?
What am I watching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, when I browse my blog, it's always an incognito, of course. But what am I watching? I like The Block. That's all right.
You like The Block?
Are you on The Block at the moment, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
The current block, or you like previous blocks? You go back.
The previous ones are quite good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you not call up to tell us what you're watching, Hayden? Did you call us up for something else?
I was going to ask another question, but...
Go for it. Throw it. Anything.
Have you done the lighter side of the coughing news yet?
No, we haven't. We'll do that next.
Do you want it?
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, all right. We can happily do that for you, Hayden.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to help out. Anything you want. Great question.
I'd love that.
Love you.
Love you, babe.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, The Hodaki Breakfast.
I've been having this, I've got this interesting thing I want to run past you, Jerry, and the good listeners of Radio Hodaki. I went to the Foo Fighters in the weekend in Weezer, and what a great show it was. Weather was a bit rough early on, but geez, what a great show. Sung myself hoarse. But of course, we had the Foos and Weeze party before that, and so I was having a quiet tipple from about midday, about 11 in the morning.
That's not midday, that's 11 in the morning, but still.
Yeah, midday-ish.
Keep going.
And then right through the concert and then a little bit afterwards.
Right through the mid-morning and then into the noon.
And then sort of steadily steaming, just getting about my business, about my work.
Yeah.
And then after the Foo Fighters and went along to a bar to, I thought I'd go to a bar. And when I got to the queue, the bouncer pointed me and goes, "He's not coming in. He's intoxicated." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Am I?" And he goes, "Yeah, look at your eyes. You're intoxicated." And I go, "Really?" Because I didn't think I was. But I'd been drinking since 11 a.m., so mm-hmm. How in the world could I possibly have not been intoxicated? Look, where's the logic in my head here? Why is it that you, no matter how long you've been drinking or how steamed you are, it's not like that you're being a dick, even though I was a bit of a dick after that, but you're not. It's not that you're being a dick. It's that you genuinely, in your head, you think, "I'm not that steamed." And yet, clearly you are.
Well, there's 2 points here, just a couple of quick points. Firstly, I guess for you, it's just a natural state. So you're probably thinking, "Well, I'm always like this." And the second point is, look, some people, it's an interesting rule, the idea that some people are allowed in to bars intoxicated or not. Say, for example, maybe they didn't serve you any more alcohol, for example. Yeah. I understand that, but what's the harm in actually someone being intoxicated if they're not causing any problems? So what's the difference between someone being drastically, incredibly tired? Let's just say that you are absolutely shattered, right?
Yeah.
Your eyes are down, you're so tired, you've been working for months on end. Like, what's the difference between that and being intoxicated if you don't cause any problems?
Well, that's what I don't understand as well, Gio. I agree with you there. I don't understand why it's legislated against the state of your mind as opposed to the state of your behaviour.
Yeah.
Because if you're not a guy that's throwing punches or flipping things over or drunk driving, who cares if your mind's addled? It doesn't... What harm is it? It's all inside your own brain. So if you want to pickle your own brain, pickle your own brain. How you behave, if you behave terribly and start assaulting people or whatever, then that's the crime that's been committed and you should be done for that.
Well, the other thing is it's not actually accurate because... you could be absolutely off your chops. You could have had a cocktail, a plethora of all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
But if you act straight,
yeah,
then they think that you're not intoxicated. But you say, "Well, I am actually heavily intoxicated." If you did a toxicology report on me right now, you would find that I was in a state of near death. Yeah. Yet I can act normal.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's really, really it should be you're acting too drunk.
Yeah, that's right. It should be behaviour.
Yeah.
And I find I'm unfairly targeted as a member of the bung eye community for being overly steamed because my eyes start off quite bung, so I can get like 50% of someone and my eyes get, way more bung than they need to be.
Well, maybe you need to wear sunglasses in that situation. I mean, rock up with a pair of, with just a half... A graduated, and then if they say you've got to take your glasses off, you say, I've got eye issues.
I'm a member of the bung eye community. Well, and that's racist to try and get me to get my glasses off.
Light sensitive. Yeah. I'm incredibly light sensitive. Or you wear a patch.
Yeah, well, lots to think about there.
Mm.
It's the lighter side of the coffee news.
Who doesn't love the coffee news, Matt?
Well, Jerry, the coffee news is the mock coffee-stained printed double-sided one-sheet you'll find sometimes folded at most cafes.
I'm pleased I got that amendment to that particular piece of admin there.
You'll also find it at fast food joints and tourist traps across the country. It's the printed publication of the future, which features a lighter side segment where they print some great jokes.
Now, normally we read this at about 6:45 in the morning, so sometimes it's hard to sort of get up for the coffee news. So I'm looking forward to what it feels like at 8:43.
Well, here's this week's crop of jokes on the lighter side of the coffee news. Why is it a bad idea to write a letter on an empty stomach?
Why?
Because it's much better to write it on a paper.
Oh, that's good.
On paper.
That's good.
Yeah, you like that one?
Yeah, well, it's not writing it on an empty stomach. So you're not actually writing the letter on the person's stomach. You're actually writing it on a piece of paper.
But what about in a sort of bedroom situation?
What about if writing it's actually writing on the paper that's on the stomach?
Yeah, but what about if you wrote a love letter to someone on their bare stomach?
Dear Matt, I love the way you look at me across the desk in the mornings.
There's a lot of crap in your belly button.
You're beautiful. Let's make love. Is that something like that?
Get away with me with that Sharpie. Like, get away.
Well, who's saying it's in a Sharpie?
Me. Half of being smart is knowing what you're dumb at. We'll just move on from that one.
Yeah.
Creativity is allowing oneself to make mistakes.
Oh, I hate these. I don't even know if I want to keep this one going because I hate these wry asides.
Yeah, they're not jokes.
No.
Maybe. But it is. On the lighter side, it's not a joke segment in the coffee news. It's more of a just a sort of a light, breezy kind of chat.
Just, yeah, it's something a little bit, you know, it's not serious, but it's not funny. It's
creativity is allowing oneself to make mistakes. Art is knowing which ones to keep.
Actually,
laughing. Huh. Okay, anyway, Chris Goodwin, executive producer of the Matt and Jerry Show. Do you want to be the patient or the doctor in this comedic play?
How about I be the patient?
Okay, let's go.
Okay. I'm nervous. This is my first operation.
Mine too, says the doctor.
Well, you don't want to hear that from a doctor, do you?
I think that's the...
Is that the gag?
Yeah. Getting
but
old...
But the other thing is you would never say... The doctor would never say that.
What?
Well, mine too.
What about when we were flying to Invercargill that time and the pilots told us that it was his first flight?
Yeah, that wasn't ideal, particularly when they came on and said, by the way, there's a bit of weather in Invercargill. You know when they say that? That's the new term for get ready for a rough ride. There's a bit of weather around. So, yeah. Well, isn't there always weather? Isn't it always sunny or cloudy or windy or rainy? I mean, everything's weather.
Yeah, well, I argue that a sunny day is the absence of weather, but we've had a debate about this before. But yeah, and then that pilot, it was his first day, and then it took 3.5 hours to fly from Dunedin to Invercargill.
To a gale force southwesterly.
And we were talking to him afterwards, and he said they use 3.5 times the fuel they normally do, and most of the time we were just standing still and not moving at all, just floating above Gore.
Well, I remember we did look down at one point when you could actually see the ground, and we're saying, we don't seem to be going very quickly,
do we? And I was sitting there going, I wish this was this pilot's 1,000th flight.
Yeah.
You know, because it feels like something's wrong.
But you did a smart thing on that flight because you filmed it.
Yeah.
When it got really, really insanely like, oh my God, I think I'm going to die, Bumpy.
Yeah.
And the plane was moving in really weird ways. You were like, if you film it, it's fun.
Yeah, because then you step back from it.
Yeah, and it was fun.
It was fun when
It's a good tip, that one. They should maybe put that in the lighter.
I've got a lot of footage on my phone of you crying. Anyway, getting old has its advantages. Your friends can come to your birthday party and warm themselves around the cake.
Why?
Because there's so many candles on the cake.
Oh, I see. I see. Did you get that? I see.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the lighter side of the coffee news. And this is the Oils.
This is the lighter side of Australian rock. Midnight Oil.
Conscious rock.
Garrett dancing taken off around the world. It's perfect self-conscious dancing for an Australian or a New Zealander, isn't it?
Yeah, hands close by your side.
Yeah, because what do you do with your hands when you're dancing? The hands are the problem.
Peter Garrett, in this current climate, he's never going to be accused of being handsy when he's dancing.
Well, they sort of come out.
Oh, yeah, they come out.
They come out at a low level too.
A bit penguin-y, don't they? Yeah, that's right. You could be done.